Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in the studio is the man, the producer, the man who loves the Saints, all of God's people, Pat Hamilton.
That's right. In the house.
In the house. And our friend and yours, Steve Kalaszewski.
Present, sir.
Present, present.
Mr. Gymnast.
Mr. Gymnast.
In the house.
In the house. Hello, hello. We want to give a shout out to all of our new VFN listeners all across the globe. Man, that just sounds so good. Mm-hmm. You guys are encouraging. Thank you for the post. Thank you for sharing on Facebook. Thank you for going to the torch. Together, together, we're reaching the world for Jesus. VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. We've got so much to share with you today. Bloomberg is at it again.
Oh, no.
He's at it again.
Was he banning ice cream now?
Oh, my goodness. Get ready for this one. Obama and Putin meet at the G8.
Wow.
This is getting serious.
Uh-oh.
We're going to talk about the Constitution. You got to tune in. You got to tune in. Turn it up loud at work. Share it with your friend.
It's okay to air guitar.
Get them plugged in, VFN Radio. Well, you know, guys, another day on VFN Radio. My goodness, what a pleasure.
Amen.
You know, Steve, I was over the weekend, Father's Day weekend, in fact, you mm-hmm. know, or should I say Sunday, I received this text of a video.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm minding my own business. You know, I like just to mind my own business and look after my own dogs. But why? Why did I receive a text message from someone on this radio program, not me or you right now?
Oh, okay.
That would be Pat, but I'm not mentioning any names.
Say any names, okay.
But he sent me this video of his two dogs. Okay, yeah. I gotta admit.
Y'all love your dogs.
Hey, man, dogs are cool. Dogs are cool. You should get one. You should
oh,
get
yeah.
one.
Okay.
He sends me this video, right. And these dogs, I gotta admit, Chris, it's actually kind of cute. Mm-hmm. They're going back mm-hmm. and forth. Do we have that video? Do we? What were they doing? Talk to us here. I mean, were you? I think he spent hours training them to do this.
They're playing with the ball.
They're playing with. They got this. How big is Holly? Holly is a
she
lab.
She is almost 80 pounds.
80 pounds. And how big is Samson?
I think maybe 8.
He may be 10 soaking wet.
Oxymoron here. Samson is a little, and Holly's huge.
Right.
But they're going back and forth, and
we get notice Holly's on her back. Yeah. She's being gentle.
Very gentle. Samson is the more aggressive. But it's just so cute. They're just going back and forth playing with each other. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is so cute. How long do they do this?
Oh, this will go on for hours.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, they do this all day.
Really?
Oh yeah, until Holly gets tired of him. Just like, swats him like a bug. Get away from me.
That is so cute. It just, this goes, I mean, this was, and he wanted me to watch the duration of this 30-minute video. I said,
Pat. I only sent you about a minute of it.
It seemed like it was an eternity.
This one's about 3-minute version.
Oh, okay.
And well, I had to turn it off.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to put this available. We know that Pat has a lot of time, but we're going to put this available for you on the torch so you can see. But Holly and Samson, they're playing and getting it on, but it's so cute when you see these two dogs are complete opposite, you know, size, and they're just playing so nicely. It's like, oh my goodness, some adults can learn from this video. Play nicely.
Right.
They're playing nicely. Oh my goodness. Oh my. Holly and the dogs. Well, you know, we've been talking about technology advancing, guys. Now, I thought I've seen everything,
mm-hmm.
okay? But let me tell you something. What I had just seen, I want one of these.
Mm-hmm.
Let me remember watching the Jetsons when you were little. You know, they, mm-hmm. all this futuristic stuff they had going on in those cartoons, it's actually coming to pass. And they had space travel and air travel.
Mm-hmm.
They have just invented a flying bike. You gotta check this thing out.
Wow.
We have a video for you on the torch. But when gas gets a little high.
If you're dreading your daily commute, engineers in the Czech Republic may have just the answer
there
for
you.
Right out of the Jetsons. It's only a prototype right now, but check out this flying electric bicycle.
Oh my
God. It's lifted off the ground by six battery-powered engines, but a few issues still need to be worked out, including its weight, 205 pounds, and it can only stay in the air for 5 minutes. Engineers are working on stronger
power. She's got two attic fans attached to
it. I love when they say it was engineered. I think he put some fans on the bottom of the bike. Is that cool or what? Just flying around this hangar. Is that a real person on it? I think it looks like a robot.
No, I think that's a mannequin.
But that is so cool. You know, think about it. I have two questions about that. First of all, is there a weight limit? Because if you weigh... I am a little bit concerned that the fans won't get me off the air, okay?
Off the ground,
yes. Yeah. And the second thing is like, oh my goodness, I don't want to be going over no trees and the electricity goes out or the power goes out.
I know, look, there was no grate underneath them fans. It was wide open.
Yeah.
And like, okay, if this happens, this is going to be really scary. This is not going to be good.
Yeah.
But did you know, speaking about invention and all these radical things that come out, did you know that... we laugh at all these things that people come together and put together, but the story behind the first airplane in flight is pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Wright brothers get a lot of credit for it, but actually, there was this guy, I don't have his name for you, I'm sorry, but he was an amazing inventor. He had all these credentials. He had all this type of, you know, mm-hmm. Aerodynamics, you know, backing, support, and the government actually paid him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money, I believe it's like $1 million to go ahead and put the first, you know, plane in
right.
the air. Well, the first time he put it up, it failed miserably. I mean,
yeah.
Everybody was, you know, came out and all this, and it was a huge flop. And I think he attempted it a second time.
Mm-hmm.
Brings all these people out, you know, and it was disastrous, disastrous. And the guy, like, goes away, he goes hidden, never shows, you know, himself ever again. It was like... huge failure for somebody that they expected to do phenomenal, you know.
Right.
He was the guy. He mm-hmm. was the one. He was the one. He had the education. He had the knowledge. He had the experience. He had everything that you would think, and they even gave him the money. I mean, when you would think that when you connect the knowledge and the money, you've got everything you need. Mm-hmm. What's the deal? He couldn't put it up. But did you know that the Wright brothers, out wherever they were in the country...
Kitty Hawk, North Carolina.
Was it Kitty Hawk?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All by themselves. These guys were bike repair guys.
I didn't know that. Bike repair guys.
And they actually put the first airplane in flight.
Yeah.
And it just makes me think that, wow, you know, the race doesn't always go to the most intelligent, you know, to the person with all the education and know-how and the ones with all the finances and the resources,
mm-hmm.
oftentimes the person that wins, the person that achieves something is the person that just sticks with it,
mm-hmm.
doesn't give up, doesn't listen to the people that say, no, you can't. There's so many naysayers. I'm amazed at all the naysayers that never attempt to do anything, mm-hmm. but they're quick to say what you can't do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you that if you feel like you need to put something in motion and, you know, Lord's leading you to do something, go ahead and step out. Go ahead and try it. Go ahead and do it.
Perseverance.
You know, stick-to-itiveness. Don't give up because no telling what can happen, you
mm-hmm.
know, what you can do. No one expected the Wright brothers to do it, and they did it.
Yeah.
And keep going moving forward, you know, because many people say that you can't, but the only voice that matters is your own, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's what you believe about what you're saying about yourself and, of course, what God says. But, I mean, don't listen to why you can't. Listen to why you can. The person who never shoots a basket is guaranteed to miss every time.
Right.
He's guaranteed.
Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, either way, you're right.
Absolutely. The question is, do you think you can?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people that are afraid of failure.
Yeah. And they never even attempted the first time.
They never even attempted to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
They never attempted to do anything. And you know, if you're going to fail, fail often. But I like what John Maxwell says, fail forward. Mm-hmm. You know, don't fail falling back, fail forward so that you can actually learn from those experiences. That's how you learn. I think it was Thomas Edison when they asked him, you know, what did you learn, you know, and you're inventing the light bulb or...
Yeah, he had like he had you know, in their eyes, he had quote unquote failed like 98 times.
It was more than that.
Or,
more than
thousands.
However many times, he says, "No, I didn't fail that many times. I just found out 1,000 different ways not to make a light bulb."
That's right.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's
all about perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it really comes down to, you know, if you're listening to those people who have nothing but negativity to say on what you believe in, then it really doesn't matter what they say.
That's right. And I tell you, if you step out in bold faith and you step out and do what God's called you to do, it's going to be amazing the things that you'll be able to do and accomplish. Listen, life is but a vapor. If you're going to do something, it's time to do it.
Yeah.
If you're going to step out and believe God, it's time to step out and believe God.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? Once it's over with and once it's done, all that woulda, coulda, shoulda is over with.
Mm-hmm.
Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to step out and do great things for God. And don't let anyone hold you back. Listen, they're putting all types of things in the air, all types of, you never, it's time to do it.
Yeah.
It's time to do it. I want to share with you a psalm today. It's Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. And night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Mm. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. I mean, think about it. The heavens declare the glory of God.
Mm.
And just look at creation. Look at the stars. Look at the sun. Look at the clouds. Look at the flowers. Look at the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. I love the Emerald Coast. I mean, look at the ocean. And you look at this beautiful emerald, aqua-looking water, and you say, my goodness, God, you are awesome. You are awesome. What did you do? Sprinkle a little green over here, a little blue over there? And what did you do here?
Mm.
It looks so amazing. You drive through the mountains and you say, oh my, the mountains that are so glorious and wonderful. You want to stick your hands out and almost try to palm them or reach them. And you think, oh my goodness, Lord, you are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You look at different pictures of the Grand Canyon and say, look at this. God, is this where you just put your toe down and busted a hole all the way down to the bottom of the, you know, what happened here? You go to the Niagara Falls, and you can literally stand for a couple of hours, and I have, just looking at waterfall and say, where does this water come from?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, creation speaks.
Yeah.
It speaks of the majesty and the awesomeness of our God. He is truly amazing, and he has created this earth for us to have dominion in it, right? He's created this so that we can enjoy it. And it points to how amazing and how beautiful and how lovely he is. This is just earth. I can only imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And my best imagination doesn't even come remotely close to the glories of heaven.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, we are just passing through.
Amen.
We're just passing through. Don't get comfortable in this place called Earth.
Don't get too attached to
Don't get too attached. Don't put your roots down deep. Because you know what? We have a heavenly place to go to. There, we have a citizenship in another place. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. I'm a dual citizen. I got a citizen in the United States, and I got a citizenship in heaven. And I am ready. I am ready to be with the Lord. I'm telling you, I mean, there's so many people today that fear death and fear what will happen. Listen, you don't have to fear death. You know, Paul said to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Hey, if I stay here, I'm going to stay here to do more service for the king. Mm-hmm. And if I go, I'm going to be with the king. Amen. Either way, it's all good. Kind of like being with the king, you know. But for you, mm-hmm. we'll stay here a little bit as long as God would allow us to stay here. And I want to encourage you today, no matter what you're facing or going through, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, oh my, better days await you. There is a glorious day soon coming where there'll be no weeping, there'll be no tears, but there'll be unceasing joy. And I'm telling you, your hope only rests in Him, because there's a wonderful, wonderful day coming. And I'm telling you, embrace today and embrace the Lord, because the seasons and the timing is short, and things are changing as we speak in our society.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're turning at every, you know, point in time.
Yeah.
They're just changing. Mm-hmm. Things are happening rapidly, and they're all converging. And when you see things happening, you're thinking, Lord, I think you're coming sooner and sooner.
Yeah.
You can come back at any moment. Did you know that not one thing has to happen, biblically speaking, for the Lord to return? He can come back at any time. And the Bible says when He does return, it'll be like a twinkling of an eye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like a flash of lightning. Bam.
Quickly.
Quickly. Mm-hmm. The question is, will you be ready?
Yeah.
And what will you be doing in that twinkling? That's why Jonathan Edwards said, I resolve never to do anything which I would be ashamed to do if it was the last hour of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that could help us keep us in check here. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, oh, Lord, can you schedule that, your return in a couple hours here? Can you? Or it could be a glorious thing.
Yeah.
Well, I want to share with you, I don't know if you guys are aware of this. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about Bloomberg in New York City and what he is attempting to do yet again. Interesting.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Can your faith prevent you from a promotion or raise? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work on a floor where there's a nurse, and she's constantly harassing me every time that I talk about Christianity. It is my nurse, and she's going to do my evaluation.
Sure.
That she does not like that I'm a Christian, and I'm always talking about Jesus constantly.
Yeah, well, let me tell you this. So she cannot deny you a promotion or a pay raise or an evaluation because of your religious faith. Under Title VII of the United States Code, taking that into consideration is a violation of the law. So every case involving employment situations are fact sensitive, which means we've got to look at the facts of the individual case. I'll get you in touch with, hang on the line here, we'll get some quick information from you and get you in touch with our legal staff here at the American Center for Law and Justice.
The American Center for Law and Justice is dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear His voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God, and survival in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear His voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear His word. We need to get to know His voice better. Be absolutely resolved to know His voice better. And we need to get better at obeying His voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study His word, that you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you. A simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org. Do you know there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America? The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-outright attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. Joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. We're talking before the break. Listen, attempt to do great things for God. Don't let anyone stop you. Don't let the naysayers put water on your fire. The Wright brothers, they were the ones that put the plane in the sky. Kitty Hawk, North Carolina.
That's right.
Who would have thought? Listen, the race doesn't always go to the strongest and to the swift and to the one with all the intelligence and all the money. Mm-hmm. The race goes to the guy who thinks he can.
He doesn't give up.
It's persistence.
It keeps moving, keeps going. And listen, if you commit your ways to the Lord and trust him in all you do, if God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. Nobody. So go out and do something great today. You know, I was talking about before the break, Bloomberg. Mm-hmm. Bloomberg, the mayor from New York City, he's taking on a new cause. Now, he tried to ban the super gulp sodas because... Mm-hmm.
People are getting fat.
Yeah.
Too much soda.
There's an ideology that government knows best out there, and they can tell you what to eat and control all areas of your life. I thought these were the United States, you know, the home of the brave.
Of the free.
The land of the free. What is all of this telling you what you can drink and what you can do?
Yeah.
Well, he wants to impose recycling for food scraps. Food scraps. I want you to listen to this segment from CBN, and very interesting. Have it ready here for you. But actually, we thought we had it for you. Actually, we don't have it for you right now. What I want to share with you, though, and I'll just tell you about it. He's taking this cause, and he's taking it to New York City residents. And under the program, listen to this, under this program, residents would collect food waste and put it in picnic basket sized containers in their homes. It's like, okay, just one more thing to do. And it's like, I don't understand this type of concept. I mean, why the continual control and exercise of putting your authority over folks that just want to live free?
Yeah.
I mean, especially like in New York, I mean, you understand that I've lived near the city, been to the city. This is like one more thing to do. You know what I'm saying? One more thing to lug out. I mean, I want you to listen to the segment. We do have it available. Listen up.
John Waggy, CBN News. Amen. Well, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, in other news, is taking on a new cause. This time, a plan requiring New Yorkers to separate food scraps for composting. Under the program, residents would collect their food waste and put it in a picnic basket-sized container in their home. Those containers would then be emptied into large brown bins on the curb for pickup. Officials say the program would start off with 150,000 single-family homes, 100 high-rise buildings, and 600 schools. But by 2015 or 2016, the entire city would be expected to participate. If Bloomberg's plan is embraced by New Yorkers, it would represent the biggest expansion of recycling efforts for the city since 1989.
You're looking here at a government. You're looking at Mayor Bloomberg in particular and those that follow that ideology of that government knows best and it has to be involved in every bit of your life. And it's interesting how there's a continual emphasis on what you eat, on your food, how to discard it. It's like, wait a minute, step out of my home, step out of my food, step out of what my life here, because the government doesn't know best. You should have your own right to eat and do what you want. And it's like, food scraps, have you seen the trash in New York City? I mean, if those guys go on strike, it is horrific. Is it, you're worried about recycling food scraps? Let's clean up some of these other major areas. You have something like 80% of the kids that are graduating from New York City schools, and we shared this on VFN radio, can't even read. They can't even read. Why are we emphasizing on the control of human beings when we really should be empowering them and the young people in some critical areas, especially in the city of New York, like education? If your students can't read, I mean, I would consider that a huge problem. You know what I mean? I consider that a huge problem. But again, it just goes to show you. I mean, we used to be able to laugh at this type of stuff, and no, it's not a joke. But it's like there's comes to a point of an arrogance, an audacity that even thought that you would want to consider that you know best, that that the government knows best, and the average American citizen needs to be told what to do. And I'm telling you, that's why we have a constitution. We have a constitution to protect us. We have rights, and it stops the government from imposing all of these laws and stipulations and control mechanisms to infringe upon the everyday freedoms that were given to us by the Lord. We've been talking quite a bit about the constitution, the importance of the constitution. And listen, if you have not been listening to VFN Radio, if you have not been listening to the news at large, but you got to understand that the Constitution is under attack.
Yeah, big time.
Your freedoms and your rights are under attack. And on the other side, there's a lot of wonderful Americans that are rediscovering the Constitution.
Yeah,
they're rediscovering the God-given rights, and they're understanding the purpose and the framework for which our founders actually established the Constitution. If you don't understand the origination of anything, how could you appreciate what you have? And that's why we have the original intent of the church, the original intent of the country, the Constitution, is so that we can understand what was originated in the design. When you look at anything that was ever created or made, it's always wonderful to be able to look at a manual or to understand or see an interview of the person that created it. I mean, before he died, Steve Jobs would do a great job, not just talking about the product, but discussing the why and what the product does and what were they envisioning in their design. I've never seen a product that has so many specifications, feel and look and the quality and the engineering and the style and how it sounds and all these different things, because they had an intent. They had an understanding of what they wanted to produce before they produced it. And so we have a constitution that just wasn't thrown together. We have a constitution that wasn't just a bunch of good ideas thrown on a piece of paper. But there was a mindset. There was a debate. There was a thinking. There were men that got together and said, listen, we want to form a country, but we want to break free. from Great Britain and what the king did over there, we certainly don't want to see that happen here. If you understood what happened and what was happening during that time, you'd have a greater sense of understanding, of appreciation mm-hmm. for this wonderful, amazing document. And, you know, last week we talked about, we shared President Ronald Reagan talking about mm-hmm. the Constitution. We're going to make this related for you on the torch. And he was talking about how all the constitutions around the world, he's seen plenty of them. Mm-hmm. And what he said, what distinguishes the constitutions from other countries, from the constitution that we have in this country, are three powerful words. We.
The people.
The people.
People.
We the people.
That's right.
See, we the people is about us, the citizens, mm-hmm. telling our government. Mm. We are electing representative government that speaks and acts on our behalf. These other constitutions are all about what the government can do for the people. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the type of constitution that we have. It's not the form of government that we have. We have a representative government that we elect to go to D.C., to go to, you know, where they are state capitals to represent us and what we want as a nation. I want you to listen. I want you to listen to Judge Napolitano as he talks about the Constitution, and he shares. This is a series. And this is the first part of this series that we plan to bring to you. But this is basically the framework, and it just talks about the Constitution. There's other parts that follow are the Constitution and Congress, the Constitution and the President, the Constitution and the courts, and the Constitution and the states. It's so important that at this time, especially in this season that we're living in, that we truly understand what was the original intent of this great document. Listen up.
The Constitution of the United States of America, with its written limitations on government and its written guarantees of human freedom, is the greatest political document ever written in the history of the world. It is the foundation of the American government, and everyone who works in the government takes an oath to preserve, protect, and defend it.
The creation of the American Republic, with its written constitution and guarantees of personal freedom for the individual, is the greatest development for freedom in the history of the Western world. The reason we have a constitution is the fear the founders had of an all-powerful central government. And the fear was real. When we were colonists and the king and the parliament wanted to raise money from us, they thought of ingenious ways to do so. One of the ways that they raised money was with legislation called the Stamp Act. It required that every document that the colonists had in their homes, a book, a bank draft, a deed, a lease, a mortgage, even a pamphlet or a poster, had to have on it a stamp bearing the image of the king. Question: how did the government know that every piece of paper in one's possession bore an image of the king? Answer: the Parliament enacted the Writs of Assistance Act. This law authorized British soldiers to knock on the doors of any colonist's home and write themselves permission to enter. They could literally write their own search warrants and then enter the colonists' homes under the pretext of looking for the stamps. Of course, while there, they frequently could help themselves to property. They could consume alcohol. They could seize furniture. They could even take over the home and expel the colonists and use the home as their own living quarters for as long as they wished. This act was the last straw. We fought a revolution. We won the revolution. We wrote a constitution. In writing the constitution, in that hot and sticky summer of 1787 in Philadelphia, delegates were sent from each of the 13 colonies. They had a great debate. The debate was over the origin of our freedoms. The James Madison and Thomas Jefferson folks argued that our freedoms come from our humanity. After all, Jefferson had just written in the Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This understanding of the origin of our freedoms is called the natural law, and it teaches that because we are created by God in His image and likeness, and because God is perfectly free, He created human beings as perfectly free. Thus, freedom is our birthright, so our right to live, to think as we wish, to say what we think, to publish what we say, to travel, to worship or not to worship, our right to defend ourselves from anyone, even against a tyrannical government, our right to own and enjoy property, and our right to be left alone are as natural to us as the fingers on the ends of our hands. The opposing argument in Philadelphia, which was made by the big government crowd of the day, the Alexander Hamilton and John Adams folks, was that our freedoms don't come from our humanity, they come from the government. These folks argued that without the government, there can be no freedom, and the same government that gives us freedom can take it away. Because we have majority rule in this country, if the majority voted that there would be, for example, no freedom of speech, under this theory, freedom of speech would be gone. Fortunately for all of us, Jefferson's views prevailed, and the concept of natural rights, rights belonging to us by virtue of our humanity, is instilled in the Constitution and in the Bill of Rights. These two documents taken together state the reasons for which the federal government came into existence, establish a president, a Congress, and a court system, each with separate and distinct responsibilities and powers. They retained certain rights for the people and for the states. Remember, in Philadelphia, it was the states that came together to create the federal government. The states gave a little bit of their powers to a new central government, and they stated just how little and just what those powers were in the magnificent document we call the Constitution. They added a Bill of Rights because they were worried that a new central government in the new capital of these United States might someday do the same thing to them that the King of England and his Parliament did to the colonists. Has the system worked as intended? Has the government followed the wishes of the framers? Has it stayed within the confines of the Constitution? The Constitution and the Bill of Rights were written for two purposes. The first was to establish and define the government, and the second was to keep the government off the people's backs. Without the Bill of Rights guaranteeing human freedom, there would have been no Constitution. And that's why everyone in government, from the founding of our country until this very day, takes an oath to uphold the Constitution and human freedom.
Wow, powerful. Absolutely powerful. And he does a great job. Judge Napolitano does a great job in speaking about the original intent of the Constitution. I mean, most people don't understand that we had a Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. We were saying, Great Britain, King George, we are out of here.
Yeah,
right.
We're not a part of you guys anymore. This, we've had enough. And we have this Constitution to protect us from a tyrannical government. It has written limitations on government as well as guaranteed freedoms. And they feared basically what happened with King George to happen all over again. That's called wisdom.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You learn from your experiences, and they certainly didn't want to see that again or lose that experience. When we come back, we're going to talk about this in more detail, because you understand that, listen, blood was shed. People fought wars. Husbands died, fathers died for freedom. Mm-hmm. This is not a new concept that you see now because we have a military. This has happened from the beginning and the founding of this nation, mm-hmm. that this nation was fought for to be created so that we can have freedom,
yeah.
and we can serve God freely. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
I want to encourage you, you know, if you feel like you had a call on your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, a you just want to walk with God. You know, you want to be close to Him. You want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn His ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning His ways will end up following some ways that are not His ways. And eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Find Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also join us at the VFN family, you know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org. You know, it's been, you know, I've been serving the Lord for some time now. I guess it's 1986 when I had just God called my name. You can find out more about that at meetmyfather.org, where I share my testimony. I was a deputy on the streets. But it's amazing. The more you walk with people and you walk with the Lord, and it's like some people are just like seasonal. They're like they're on fire for God, you know, and they're saying they're ready to go after God. But, you know, after 5 years or maybe 10, but normally 5, you know, mm-hmm. I know that others, you know, have said, you know, around 5 years or something, you know, we get mm-hmm. tempted to just kind of lay back and just kind of, you know, coast if you could. And really, I believe that you're never sitting still. You're either going back or going forward. There's no sitting still. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we're supposed to, so people look at you shocked when they go, you're still preaching the gospel? Yes. Why would you ever change? We're going to see the Lord. I mean, every second of life we have left, you know, we want to do everything we can for Him because He laid down His life for us. And we'll spend an eternity mm-hmm. pondering why we wasted one moment on anything else but Him, because we'll have eternity to think about these few uh-huh. years that we have. You know, I think about Steve Hill. Remember when Steve Hill was talking about that, and he was talking about people coming up to him as well and saying, you know, they're talking about laying back. It's not time to lay back. It's time to lean forward. Listen to Steve. I'll be right back.
They say, people come up and say, you haven't changed. You haven't changed. It's because that seed, if it's an apple seed, that's going to produce an apple. Okay? And Steve Hill, and I can see Peter Wagner, is not going to get out there and in midstream go, you know something, this has been good. It's been good, but there's a whole different avenue, and there's a whole different teaching that's coming down the pike. And I want to be a part of that.
Listen, you know, religion is hard, but like Steve is saying, it's not time to sit back and just and pause and say, I'm not going to do anything. It's time to quit being religious and do it in a way that's just natural. And let's enjoy this thing called the kingdom of God. Let's enjoy each other. Let's be family and love each other, love God, and lead other people to love God. It's not as hard as religion. You can't keep on carrying on a huge, you know, big traditional thing and physically sustain that, but you can just love people and love God and lead others to the same. It's not that complicated, is it?
Right. No.
If that's you, if you wanted to continue, you know, you thought about giving up, you thought about saying, hey, I'm just rest on what I've done, or you're thinking maybe that you're beyond use in your life, you are not. As long as you have breath, as long as you love God, as long as you love others, listen, you know, you are a servant of God. You're a minister of God. Everybody is called to minister. Maybe you're called to relate to us or another network, like maybe Chase Network or another network. But find out more at Vine Fellowship Network. That's VFNfamily.org. VFN, that's a V as in Victor, VFNfamily.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the extra, not extra hour, back from the break, is Pat and Steve. My goodness, I'm ahead of myself today.
A little bit.
I'm excited about the extra hour. I'm telling you, better tune on in. We're going to be talking about intimacy with God, and oh my goodness, our hearts are stirred. We can't wait to share on that. But we were talking before the break about the Constitution. And understanding how important it is to understand the original intent of the creator or the inventor of anything that was ever created or invented mm-hmm. Same is true when it comes to the Constitution. This document wasn't just thrown together and made a good idea. No, there was an understanding. Something had happened. And, you know, the colonists were under the rule of King George in Britain, and he was a tyrannical ruler.
Mm-hmm.
He set himself up as the head man there and integrated the church with the government, and it just got whack.
Yeah.
It just got whack. And one of the things that happened is that they instituted the Stamp Act, and there was just this way to raise money and tax the folks there in the colonies. And the thing with this Stamp Act is that they had to have this stamp on every document that they had in their home. Everything.
Yeah.
Whether it was a pamphlet, a book,
right,
a desk. They had to have this stamp with King George's image on it. And so the only way that they could verify if indeed, Steve, you had this stamp on your notebook or on your journal.
They had to
come in your home. And so how could they justify that? They made this law, the Writ of Assistance Act,
mm-hmm.
which gave the soldiers the authority to basically write their own search warrant.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that? I'm writing my own search warrant and come into your home, your privacy,
mm-hmm.
and go ahead and start looking and searching through things. They're talking about the invasion of privacy and the abuse of power that could take place during that time.
Well, and you look at that, I mean, that would totally violate as far as what we've already established in our own country, because when our police or SWAT teams or whatever, they have to go before a judge and say, hey, here's the evidence. They have to spell it out, and they have to get basically written authorization in order to have that search warrant. And it's just like they would bypass that completely, and it would just be, they'd be just let loose,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, that's why we have the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah,
that's huge. We have the Fourth Amendment because they learned wisdom from that time, saying, wait a second, we don't want this to happen again. We don't.
Right.
When we set up this new government, when we set up this new, you know, country here, we want to be able to establish it so that we don't revisit the tragedies of the past. And you can imagine the abuses of power that took place when these soldiers would come in, feed me, take whatever they want, in and out, and at any given time, you literally had no freedom.
I mean, you think about it. You knew that was the Fourth Amendment. If you did not know that was the Fourth Amendment and someone was saying that they can do it, you would have no idea that that's violating your rights that's in the Constitution. If you had a bouncy ball in your closet...
You mean if that happened now?
Right. If that would happen right now in our present generation, in this time, and someone were to say that I have the ability to go in your house without saying I'm violating your Fourth Amendment, but you don't know that, how do you know to fight for it? How do you know to say, no, this is my right, you can't have that?
Yeah, where's your search warrant?
Exactly.
Well, that's why we're doing what one of the reasons why we're doing what we're doing now is we had to get ourselves educated on the Constitution and what those rights were and be familiar with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing that you just kind of learn these in grade school and you never look at them again. I think there's a lot of freedoms that we have just taken for granted.
I don't remember ever being taught in school.
And that's some,
no.
You know, to be honest with you, I really don't remember either. I really don't remember. There was a general.
They probably talked about it.
Yeah,
nothing,
the Constitution general.
In it.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And, you know, things change. I think a lot of times we've been able to, it's a statement that we've said before on the radio, you can be ignorant for a long time in a blessed land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that ignorance that is wearing really thin right now. And that statement is no longer true. I mean, you can pay for your ignorance, you know. Said my people perish for lack of knowledge, and ignorance is without knowledge.
Yeah.
And right now, you need to know what you need to know. You need to know that we have this document, which basically they had the ability to put it on paper to give us this, you know, to recognize a form of government that would recognize the rights that come from God and God alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so important because there's a big debate that's going on right now whether the rights are actually given by the government or they're given by God. And the truth is that, and they talked about this here in the segment, that James Madison and Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson, came from the approach that all of our rights come from God. In fact, Jefferson wrote it in the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had the other side as they were debating this and had this debate, which was John Adams and Alexander Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Had any we may need to check this in any relation relationship there. But anyway, on to the back to the Constitution.
Actually.
Yes, please tell us.
On my wife's side.
Yes.
Her father, father's mother,
uh-huh.
which would be, I guess, Tracy's grandmother, her maiden name was Hamilton.
Was it really?
Which she is related to the Alexander Hamilton.
Wow.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Wow.
Small world.
Small world. But they were on the other side. Alexander Hamilton, I'm not going to hold that against you. You're on the right side today. You're on the right side today, and that's what matters. That's what matters. So we will not review the past. Yeah. However, Alexander Hamilton and John Adams thought
mm-hmm.
that big government was the one that provided the freedom mm-hmm. and the rights. And if that was the case, that means they can give it the rights and they could take the rights away. Yeah. What is that? That mm-hmm. makes you subservient to the government. And because we have, we have a majority of rule as the standard, like you said earlier, that if they decided that, okay, we're going to take away freedom of speech, then you wouldn't have freedom of speech anymore.
Yeah.
And so, which means that you're basically, your rights and your life are held ever so loosely
mm-hmm.
by who, you know, whatever controlling person gets, you know, in the government. I mean, you could literally destroy your freedoms and the freedoms of your children and your grandchildren. And so we're so grateful that through God's providence that the right approach really won out. And that was basically what is the truth, that all of our rights come from God and that every form of government, anyone that works in government really takes an oath. They take an oath to defend the Constitution, to protect, defend, preserve the Constitution. And we see that happening every day with our law enforcement. We see that, you know, happening all over the place and those that work in government. But we need to make sure that we hold everyone to that. You know, you got to hold everyone to what's written on the paper.
Mm-hmm.
As Dr. King said, all we're doing is just was to hold
you to what's written on the paper.
Written on the paper. Mm-hmm. It's written on the paper. And it's interesting. If you look at today's society and look at what the government's doing, you would think that the federal government is the one that's in charge right now. You know what I'm saying? That the states take a lesser role when in fact,
the
original intent, yeah. in the reality, in the beginning of all of this, the origination, what happened? The states
mm-hmm.
were the ones who decided to create a federal government and to share and give up a little bit of their power for this federal government, but it was mm-hmm. the states.
Mm-hmm.
And by looking at the picture today, you would get the idea here
yeah.
that the federal government runs the show.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's the states, it's the sovereignty of the states. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that. And people joke that Texas may secede. You know, I don't know if they'll secede. But think about it. I mean, the states have power, they have rights, and it matters who your governor is. It matters mm-hmm. who you vote as your representative,
mm-hmm.
Because each branch of government has the equal power.
Right.
And it's amazing that, you know, you see media today, it's like whoever they give the voice to is the one that gets amplified. But that's yeah. not what the Constitution says, that
really.
the president, the executive office, the judicial, and the Congress, they all have the same equal power. These are checks and balances to make sure that we don't have a president that goes out of control, or that we don't have a Congress that goes out of control, or that we don't have a judiciary branch that wants to change the Constitution and mm-hmm. interpret the Constitution
right.
instead of just executing what the piece of paper says.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, huge difference. So all three forms of government are there to protect it, to serve it, to defend it, and to keep the other forms of, you know, government in check. We're going to continue this a series, and we're going to continue to revisit it because it's so important, not just for us in this day that we're living in. Well, my goodness, we have a country right now that for the first time in many people's lives, we're praying to see if it's going to stand.
Yeah.
We see so many attacks on freedom. We see so many attacks occurring on the Constitution from the Second Amendment, you know, ban guns,
mm-hmm.
which is a whole other topic completely that we've covered extensively
mm-hmm.
On the Torch, and I encourage you to do so. And also the Fourth Amendment, the right to search. Listen, there is a form, there is an amount of privacy that anyone can have. I mean, these are the privacy is given to you, mm-hmm. and it helps to protects us, the Constitution. I'm telling you, listen to these segments, share with them with your friends. If you go to the torch and go to the right-hand corner, you can search Constitution, and you will see a series, many of these segments. Make a list. Go through them. Share with your friends. Talk about them with your family, with your kids, because we have to let the next generation be informed. We don't want to make the same mistake that happened to us, where we didn't actually know or remember being taught, and we had to learn later as an adult the value of the Constitution. Why not raise up the young people now today with a clear understanding of why we have this great nation? And listen, July the 4th is coming up. It'd be great going into July the 4th knowing why this country was founded.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at BFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at BFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
John, have you been listening to the daily VFN radio program?
You know I have.
Oh, man. Such good content. Hey, are you on Facebook?
Of course.
Wow. You've got to check out the VFN TV page on Facebook.com. And if you haven't, you check it out. You can go on Facebook.com/VFN TV. You know, when you're listening to the radio program and you're listening to a segment that's just, you know, speaking to you, and you know that, you know, there's friends that's really going to encourage them, you can click share. And those friends who are all your friends who you're connected with on Facebook, they'll immediately get what you share.
Wow, that's awesome. It's a great way to continue to spread the word, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out. Facebook.com/VFNTV.
I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter, and it's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis or biweekly or monthly, whichever one you desire, just let us know, what happened during that week. So many things happen in our life. We get so busy, and sometimes we forget or we want to share with our friends. Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the daily radio program that we send out to you in your email. An update. What happened that week? What happened with some of the segments that happened on VFN Radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It will come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com.
Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.